Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mary G. Mora, your Abundant Business Knowledge host. I appreciate you being on the show. I hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's Day. And it gives me great pleasure to have as our guest today, Devin C. Hughes, the Chief Inspiration Officer and best-selling author of Contrast, A Biracial Man's Journey to Desegregate His Past, and recently his first children's book, Moon Patrol, is taking off. And Devin, thank you so much for making time to be with us. I know you have a busy schedule this week.
No, Mary, delighted to be here. Look forward to a rich discussion today, and just excited to kind of share my story and what I'm doing and just, you know, some of the areas I'm really passionate about.
Wonderful. So why don't we start with you telling us about yourself? I know your story is really interesting.
Yeah, so I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. So I was born in 1969, 2 years after the Supreme Court legalized interracial marriage in America. I was born to an African-American father and a white mother who escaped from the segregated South because, as you can imagine, it wasn't in vogue at the time for a black man and a white woman to be falling in love.
Right.
And so I laugh, but it, you know, just because just some of the stuff that went with it. But so I grew up in Washington, D.C., and, you know, feeling like I really didn't belong. You know, I didn't feel like, you know, I always had to choose sides. Was I black or was I white? Had some, you know, my parents suffered from addiction issues, and I struggled in school, and lo and behold, I was diagnosed with dyslexia, and wasn't really accepted by my grandparents, and I had a lot of trauma growing up. I mean, most of my, you know, early childhood years, I felt like I didn't fit in. Maybe like a lot of your listeners, I felt like I was different, like I was odd, you know, like I just wasn't cool enough or smart enough or lived in the right neighborhood. My parents didn't go to college. We didn't have any money. So I'm that kid, you know, who just doesn't necessarily have it all together, and he's struggling with the self-esteem.
All the challenges were put on your shoulders, definitely.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I mean, my mantra, and it continues to be, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so I use that backstory, some of the stuff that I had going on in my childhood as an impetus to, you know, propel me forward, but also help others dig their way out of the mud.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you share a lot of happiness in your topic. So that's, like you say, it's not what you go through, it's how you live forward.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, happiness. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'd rather hear you.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is I have an opportunity to travel the globe right now and speak about happiness and joy and optimism and other positive emotions. And so what we found with the science is that if we can elicit more positive emotions in our schools and our workplaces and in our homes, all the outcomes that we care about will improve. So we knew it intuitively, right? If we feel better, we tend to perform better. But now the science is clearly caught up, and it clearly shows that, again, if we can get people in a better emotional place more often, that they'll do better. And so I have an opportunity to talk about my story and some of the things I did as a kid and continue to do and share it with others to help kind of propel them forward so they can bring their best selves to work or to school or to home or whatever that looks like.
So those are some of the messages in your books that you want the readers to grasp?
Yeah, so I mean, my first book, Contrast, I mean, that's just kind of a deep dive into the abyss, right? I'm just trying to figure out kind of who I was going to be. Is that going to be a byproduct of my environment, or was it going to be a byproduct of my expectations? Now, unfortunately, I had some key people in my life to kind of help me dig my way out of my hole. One of them was my father. I was a ninth grade dropout. He had instituted with me the power of positive self-talk. You know, we all talk to ourselves every single day. We have a little voice in our head that either tells us we're worthy or not worthy, we're cool enough or smart enough. And so I learned some things that I could do to make that channel that voice to make it a more positive conversation. And that's some of the stuff that I did in that book and also did in a follow-up comic book called Self-Talk.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. How's that one going?
So, you know, they're both going well. I think people tend to, and again, I don't say this to brag or boast, but I think people tend to connect to the messages because I'm not a savant. I'm not a guru. I don't proclaim to be. I'm just a guy who at an early age was struggling with a lot of stuff, and I had to kind of figure it out. And I had some, you know, some things that I learned along the way to help me cope. And then as I've gotten older, I've learned some, taken a deep dive into the research and the science behind what others do and have done. And I've read their stories. And now I've, you know, put together, say, this is called a playbook or recipe to help others, you know, deal with their stuff. And so, man, this is the deal, right? I mean, regardless of where you grow up, whether you grew up in Harlem or Beverly Hills, we all have demons, right? We all have stuff. We all have insecurities. We all have warts. And so I'm the guy that comes in and just puts sunshine and all that stuff. Not to judge you, but to help you, like, get, you know, to move forward. Because in order to let it go, you got to let it out. And that's what I help people and organizations do.
And that's something that people don't realize. We have a tendency to judge others before we get to know them and know about them. And I think that's one of the issues that you really knock out of the park, because you really help people understand that.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, I have somewhat of a unique position. I mean, some of the stuff we come up, we talk about bias, right? Racial bias, you know, and we talk about stereotypes. And so we talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, we grew up, you know, we're not born with baggage, right? We kind of grow up, you see kids, and they just go to the playground and they play. It doesn't matter what color they are, where they grow up, or what they have on. But somehow we grow up and we start to put ourselves in certain sandboxes, and we start to judge people based on these preconceived notions of what we think there's value in it. And it jades us. It pulls us apart. And we wonder why this country's so fragmented right now with all the issues that we're dealing with, because, again, we don't address it. So, I put sunshine on this stuff and make and hold the mirror up to people and just say, look, this doesn't have to be. You know, a lot of the stuff that we have pent up about race and gender stuff, that's all learned behavior, and it can be unlearned, which is what I do.
Now, what inspired you to write your first book?
Well, you know, I didn't really necessarily go out. I wish I would have had this orchestrated plan and say I was going to be this, you know, fabulous speaker and author and all that. I had a corporate job. I did what most people do. You graduate from college, you get a job, because that's the script, right? We live this script. Most of us live a script. And then I had gotten a point in my life where I had all this stuff, and the stuff that had no meaning in it. You know, I had a big house and cars and skinny jeans and this random inconsequential stuff. And I'm like, there's more music in me that needs to be played. And so I had the opportunity to speak and tell my story. And I had done it a couple times. And then someone said, Devin, you gotta write a book. You got to tell that, because so many people could benefit. And so I'll fast forward here. One of my jobs, we got bought out. It was a merger and acquisitions. And so I was going to get laid off. And so I was like, you know, if I'm ever going to do it, probably this is the right time. So that was kind of the push me off the high dive. And I just started to write. And then I had, lo and behold, a publisher heard me speak, heard my story, and then it kind of went from there.
You were at the right place at the right time. And I'm sure if you believe the Lord had something to do with it. Now, what are you doing now and why? I want to hear more about that.
So I am a full-time professional speaker and writer. So that's all I do. So you mentioned my kid's book earlier, Moon Patrol. So that was my first kid's book. And so I had kind of two halves of my career. Most of the work that I do is with adults. You know, I go into corporations, workplaces, and help bring teams together, break down barriers. So I do a lot of work around corporate culture, around happiness, joy, optimism, employee engagement, but I also do a lot of work around diversity and inclusion, about gender, race, religious, all that type of stuff. So that's one half. And the other half is I have an opportunity now to create, you know, a line of children's literature. So I have Moon Patrol, and then I just came out with another comic book called Agents of Change. And it profiles 14 African-American men and women who are doing awesome stuff right now that no one knows about. And no one knows about them because they don't play basketball, and they don't sing, and they're not on the Grammys or on a reality show. They're astronauts and military leaders and scientists and artists and business people. And so, you know, I'm excited about that. And I have another one coming out, Mary. You didn't even know about it. I have another one coming out next month called Agents of Change. And it's profiling 15 inspirational women, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Wow. Wow.
You know, who's big and other women like that. Who are doing great stuff, and they're significant change makers, but no one talks about them. So mm-hmm. my point being is I want young girls to grow up and use this coloring book because I provide a quick biographical sketch, you know, a little bit who they are, but also an opportunity to color, but to learn about some of these awesome women who are doing great stuff, but no one's talking about them.
Because if they're not a reality person on TV or in the movies, you got it. Nobody talks about them. So I think that's wonderful that you're doing that, and so many youth will get inspired. Now, are experiences based on someone you know or events in your life when you share them?
The experiences in my book or when I'm speaking?
Both.
Yeah, so, I mean, so the Moon Patrol was, based, it's fictional, right? So obviously, but I mean, some of the stories, the nuances, I mean, there's a little bit of my experience in there. So most of the stuff that I write and speak about, especially what I write about, there's a nuance. It's been colored or edited a little bit to mm-hmm. kind of fit the genre. Now when I speak, it's usually all firsthand experiences. So my life is one big tapestry. It's a story. We all have a story. The thing with me is we let our stories run by us and we don't capture them. I don't do that. Every interaction, every conversation, this phone call adds one more layer to that story, and I just have an opportunity to share those stories. But what did I learn? What did I get out of today? So I'll give you an example, Marion. I feel like I'm rambling, but I had a wonderful conversation today. I'm in Orlando, Florida at a conference. I spoke yesterday, and I had a woman come up to me and say, hey, that was so unbelievable what you said. I mean, it just touched my heart. But she said, I have a kid at home. I have a daughter who's 8. Her name is Molly. And she's struggling to fit in with school, and I didn't feel like there was any hope. But what you telling your story about when you were 8 and how you didn't fit in and how you got began to dig your way out of your hole really, really made me feel better, and I think there's going to be an opportunity for me to go back and help her. So that's what lights me up and gets me excited about what I do.
That inspires you to continue going because you know you're helping others, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the other thing, Mary, which I want to do and plan to do is I like to talk about and write about the stuff that no one else is talking about. Like, so I want to put sunshine on issues that, again, they're not provocative in some sense, but like women. I have 4 daughters, right? So there's twins that are 16, a 13, and an 11-year-old. So
yeah.
I want to, talk about that stuff. I want girls to grow up and thinking they can be awesome. I want girls mm-hmm. to celebrate one another. So I want to write literature that speaks to that. That's what I get excited about.
Definitely, because everybody needs to have self-confidence and to have somebody help them build their belief in themselves. So I think that's – and you have 4 daughters and a wife, so you're definitely surrounded by women that really understand where you're coming from.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, have there been books that have influenced your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it. You know, I tend to derive inspiration from a lot of crazy places. I mean, I read, Mark Twain was a big influence. Langston Hughes, James Baldwin. I tend to connect with people who probably have a commonality or a struggle of some sort. You know, I read Martin Frankl's stuff about being in the Holocaust. I'm not Jewish, and I can't really connect to that, except to the story about having to dig his way out of it, you know, being in a place which was so traumatic, but how his mindset, how he made choices along the way to derive meaning from the experiences. So, you know, it's stories like that that really I tend to, you know, connect to and really kind of get me excited. And, you know, I personally tend to like, and I say this not tongue-in-cheek, I like people who live on the edge a little bit, who are not scared to talk about stuff or say stuff that no one else wants to say. You know, there's certain pink elephants in every room, and we walk by them and act like we don't see them. I like the people who like to poke or prod to talk about the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are you reading now?
Me? The problem is I have that cultural ADD. I'm like trying to read 5 books at once.
So we all have that.
Yeah, but I will say this. I tend to read more nonfiction than fiction. And there's nothing wrong with fiction, obviously, but I'm really attracted to the human story, and I get really, really connected to that for whatever reason. I don't know. So, you know, I'm a work in progress with me. I get an idea today. Someone comes up to me and says something. Goes, hey, you need to put some sunshine on Native Americans. And the next thing you know, I'm off creating a coloring book for Native Americans. So I'm in a really good place right now, Mary. I think at least emotionally, that I think there's a void out there for someone right now to fill it, to talk about real stuff, for someone to have a voice for the disenfranchised. That's kind of how I see myself. You know, those folks right now who feel like they don't have a voice, I want to be the guy who can highlight some of those heroes and other people that are doing awesome stuff that no one's talking about.
And how can people purchase your book?
So you can find my stuff all over Amazon, and you can find all, so you go online and just do a search, Google search for Devin, D-E-V-I-N, middle initial C, Hughes. Google's one where you can find a bunch of information. You can certainly go to Amazon as well, look up my name or the title, and you'll see all my stuff too.
Okay, and what is your writing style? Have you ever pinpointed that?
Yeah, I would say I am very story-based, pretty light. I like to get to the heart of the matter pretty quickly. So, you know, I don't necessarily know if I have a style per se, other than it's light, it's very conversational, easy read, but very story-based. So I try to write in a way that's like you read anything that I write, you could see yourself or someone else in your world in that story. You kind of almost like self-identify. So you could connect to me. So I'm pretty raw at certain points. Like, I don't hide from stuff. So, you know, my mother was a drug addict. And whether you have addiction issues or not, if you walk home and you find your mother doing something like that, when you come home with a friend from school and you peek inside and you see your mother sitting on the couch getting high,
mm-hmm.
There's a certain level of shame in that. So, you know, I try to connect with people on certain things like that where they can connect in a way to feel like, wow, I felt shame on certain things like that in my life. That's typically that's what I try to do, is elicit some kind of emotion.
So what are some of the things that inspires you and motivates you to keep going?
Well, you know, I think, because I think it matters. I really do think that this stuff, it makes a difference. And I think there's a lot of folks out there right now that are hurting, struggling, whether or not with joy or optimism or happiness or inclusion. And I end up, the folks that I talk to at work and elsewhere, that they just want it. They want a yearning for something. And so what I do is I help them and develop some habits, so to speak, so they can create more joy. The other thing is I get fired up. I just had an opportunity to speak at with three schools, two elementary schools and a middle school, and I had the teachers of each school, and I'm pretty passionate about that too, because, you know, as I'm sitting there with these teachers, it kind of hit me that if we can get teachers more fired up and excited in the classroom, and they're pretty beaten up, because, you know, the only time teachers hear any news is usually bad news.
Exactly.
So I'm talking to these, you know, no one goes to the teacher and goes, hey teacher, I just want to tell you, you're awesome. You know, it's usually something like, well, why didn't Betty get an A instead of a B? All they hear is bad news. But my point being is that I'm talking to these teachers, and we're looking at, and I'm so excited to realize that they too are yearning for it. So if I can get teachers more fired up in the classroom, get them more excited to smile more often, they could be catalysts for change too, because they're around these kids every day. So things like that, and conversations and experiences, really are. Begin to light me up, make me feel good.
Now, diversity seems to be an area that you write a lot about. How?
Yeah.
What is the why for that?
Well, I think it's just because of my backstory and my ethnicity, of feeling like, one, I always had to choose and not fit in, and et cetera. And two, I think, you know, if you look at what's going on in this country now, Mary, with all the racial intolerance, you know, whether it be in Ferguson or New York City, it's just a lot of pent-up stuff because we don't talk about it. And I think one of the easiest ways to bring groups together is talk about some of these challenges and issues. And so, you know, again, whether it be gender or race or lesbian and gay issues or whatever. Those are stuff I'm passionate about because I think in order to bring people together, we've got to talk about some of this stuff, but we're not really prepared to talk about it. I mean, I've met very few people in my life who I could sit down and go, yeah, well, my mom and daddy told me that I need to reach out to people who don't look like me or talk like me. And I need to find friends that, don't look like me or talk like me. We kind of self-segregate. So we're not really prepared or equipped to have conversations with people, to bring people together and make them feel inclusive. And so that's why I'm so excited about that, because I think there's an opportunity to break down some of these barriers and these impediments that we have between us that are huge right now, barriers right now for bringing folks together, and some of the hate and intolerance that's going around in this country.
Now, what are some of the tips that you can share with the audience of how we can go about doing that?
Yeah, so this is the thing. So I'll say that right now. You know, I spoke the other day and I said that, and everyone's like, well, I don't have any issues, you know, with race or color or anything like that. I mean, I like everyone. So that's what the audience tells me, okay? I got, you know, maybe 500 people in the room. I go, well, that's great. I get it. Absolutely. So I said, all right, well, do me a favor. Pull out your smartphone. Everyone pulls out their smartphone. Okay, so just do me a favor. Over the next 30 seconds, scroll through your contacts. Tell me how many people are color in your contacts. And then I get this deer in the headlight look. And the reason there's a deer in the headlight look is because there's very few.
Mm-hmm.
And my point being is not to judge. My point being is if they're not in your phone and they're not in your contacts, it means you don't frequently, there's no relationship. Because the people we have relationships with, we usually touch base with in the digital world, right? We either talk to, text, or do something.
Right.
There's a frequency of contact. There's an intimacy. So my point being, you can say what you want, get it, you get it. But I'm thinking we have to move beyond that. It's one thing to say, hey, I don't have any issues with race. That's great. And I'm not judging that. What I'm saying now is we need to take it to the next step. Do you have any black friends or Latino friends? When's the last time someone's been at your house for dinner? When's the last time you've been at your house? Do your kids have that? And those are the things that I think we need to do. So what are some things that I typically suggest? It's literally, I mean, be purposeful about, say, going to work today or tomorrow, right? And literally finding someone to talk to or introduce yourself. If we could just make a point of introducing ourselves to folks that we don't normally talk to at work, it would make a huge difference. Because we have so much more in common than we realize. What keeps us apart is actually very little. There's so much more that we have. So mothers could connect. And so one of the things that I do is like literally have people get up and go find people that I normally talk to at work and have them go talk to one another and share some good news, share one thing, and force them these conversations to happen to break down some of these barriers. And we need to start doing that more often in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in schools, and et cetera.
That's a great tip. Now, what are your current projects that you're working on right now?
Yeah, so, you know, I've got this new coloring book coming out, again, the second series of Agents of Change. It's going to be on these inspirational women. That'll be out, should be out next month. And then, you know, I'm kind of getting excited about these coloring books. So you'll see at least two more coloring books this year, and then I'm working on two other books. So the plan is to have four additional books come out this year, which is pretty aggressive.
But exciting, but
I'm in a really good place. The other book I'm working on is kind of a self-reflection book. It's going to be an adult book, and it's going to be, I can't necessarily give it all away, but it's going to be one of those books with some core messages and kind of a journal element to it, where you would kind of get a daily dose of inspiration every day and an opportunity to start to savor some of the good things in your life. And then the other book is a book for parents. That's going to be for parents who are dealing with kids who are struggling to fit in or being bullied or ostracized. It's going to be a workbook, so it's going to be a helpful guide for them, but also a workbook for kids to help them kind of rechannel their thought processes and get them to start thinking more positively.
Well, I can't wait to get the heads up on all of the ones that are coming up, and I know that the ones that you have published already are
really hitting it out of the park, so I'm excited. And I really appreciate you being on the show with us today. It's been great to hear all your tips and inspirations for what you're doing. Is there one thing that you want to leave our audience with?
Yeah, I would say this, guys. I would say the one thing that I leave you in is something that my mom always told me when I was a kid. Life is about progress, not perfection. Too often we focus on the finish line and we miss the process. If you have a win, if you have a great day, that's an awesome deal. We need to celebrate it or acknowledge it. So do yourself a favor. Start to write down all the things that you're grateful for. I would suggest this, and one thing I suggest, make it a habit of writing down three things you're grateful for every single day. Find three different things in your world that you're grateful for every day. If you can do that and make that gratitude a habit, everything will start to change. And you'll start to realize you're pretty blessed and you're healthy and you got good people in your life. So make gratitude a habit. You can do that and you'll start to see, you'll feel better and people around you will start to notice the difference.
And that is wonderful. And I'd like to leave the people on the show with that inspiration. You've been terrific, and I really appreciate you sharing time with us. And I know you have a busy schedule ahead of you. So thank you again for being on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been my pleasure to have Devin C. Hughes on the show with us today, and I look forward to being with you next month. Thank
All
you,
right.
Devin.
Thank you, Miss. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.